Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord God, we thank you that you give life, as you've given life to Tyler, to Lincoln, Lord, so you give life to us. I pray this morning you'd help us to see life as something, as a gift from you, to be lived before you, and that you, Lord, are the one who watches over our lives. May that become a real faith for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Hands up if you watch soap operas on television. Okay, good. Anyone been watching one for more than 20 years? What's it been? The whole lot. Okay. EastEnders, more than 20 years. Anyone done more than 30 years? Yeah? What, 30 years? What have you been watching? Sorry? Coronation Street. I think that's the only one being going more than 30 years. So, right, okay. No one's done 50 years, have they? No one's done 50 years of Coronation Street. We'd give you a prize if you did, okay? Because we like long stories. It's good to see things developing over many, many years and decades. You may have seen that television series that was 56 up the other week, which has followed about 10 people over the past 7-year period from the age of 7. So, first of all, the men are 7, now seen when they're 56. We like long stories. And you could say that the Bible is the longest story ever told. It's a long, long story, right from the beginning of creation, beginning of men, human beings, through the Old Testament, through Jesus, the early church. And it looks forward to the time when history will finish once and for all, when things come to an end. And within that long story of the Bible, there's other long stories within it. And so today we're looking at the story of Joseph, which is a long story of ups and downs. Why Joseph? Well, as Keith said, we're connecting people with the Olympics, people who are winners, God's winners in the Bible, with Olympic events today. And like Joseph's story is like a marathon. It's not just a short, sharp burst. It's a life that goes on and on. And it's in that life, in that marathon of life, that he discovers God. Say that nowadays, boys born nowadays have got a life expectancy of over 80 years. So Tyler, Lincoln, good chance you could be here at the year 2100. Long way off, but long way to go. How are we going to find God in that long journey of life? Well, let's look at Joseph's life and see how he discovered God, how God became real for him. I'll recap the story. You may remember it from Sunday school. Joseph is the youngest of 12 brothers. His father spoils him rotten as the youngest child. And so he becomes a very spoiled, arrogant, conceited, unpleasant young man. And his brothers hate him. So the time comes when they can do him down. He's with them out in the wilderness. They think of killing him. Instead, they sell him to a group of traders, and he's taken as captive, a slave, down into Egypt. And in Egypt, he becomes the servant or the slave of Potiphar, the chief of the Egyptian army. And he does very well. He's a hard-working. He's learned to be bright, to apply himself to jobs. He rises. Potiphar's wife takes a fancy to him. She tries to get him to come to bed with her. He refuses. She's very rebuffed by that. And so, in her shame, she accuses him of rape. He's an immigrant. Doesn't get listened to. Gets convicted, thrown into prison because of a charge with rape. While he's in prison, they discover that he's got a gift, a particular gift for interpreting dreams. And when the king, Pharaoh, has a couple of very weird dreams, they call upon Joseph to interpret these dreams, which he does. He says there's going to be 7 years of plenty, good harvests, followed by 7 years of famine. So if you're wise, start stocking up, filling up your barns, preserve, keep the food, so that when the famine comes, you're ready. Pharaoh, again, is very impressed with Joseph's ability, his foresight. He makes Joseph chief of relief operations and prime minister. And lo and behold, the famine comes and people are fed from the barns, from the food they've stored. Meanwhile, back in Judah, Joseph's brothers, his father, the famine hits them. They're starving. In desperation, they go down to Egypt to get some food. Joseph meets them. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes them as his brothers. And after several twists and turns, he makes himself known to them, and they come down to Egypt with the father, and they're fed there. So you could say they live happily ever after. except in the Bible, no one lives happily ever after forever. And you may know the story how things go pear-shaped when they're in Egypt and they become slaves. But we'll leave the story there for now and just concentrate on Joseph. Because what happens to Joseph in this time? Well, he becomes a changed man. He discovers that his life is being lived before God and with God. And people who meet him see that God is with him. He prospers. That's why in different situations he does well. When he works for Potiphar, when he works for Pharaoh, they see that God is with him. Why is that? Because Joseph has learned that God is in charge of both the good and the bad in his situation. He's had setbacks. He's been thrown into slavery and sold into slavery. He's been accused of rape and thrown into prison. But each time he comes back and he discovered God's faithfulness. And so at the end of his life, we have those words that he says that are on our sheet today in Genesis chapter 50. When he says to his father and his brothers, he says, "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." These dreadful things that happened to me, Joseph says, God intended for good, to bless you and to bless other people. I wonder if you can say that. I wonder if you can bring to mind Joseph-type experiences. When people have hurt you, when you've been rejected by maybe members of your family, when you've been hurt, when you've been accused falsely, when people have said things against you, all those negative things have happened to you, yet you see that in all that, God is still with me. God is present. God uses those experiences. I wonder if things have happened to you that even now, as you think about them, you feel bitter. People you hold a grudge towards, maybe people in your family. Can I suggest today that you bring those things before God? That you spend time in quiet with them before God? And ask God to show ways in which he intended those things for good for you or for other people. The ways in which God can actually use those experiences creatively. Not for you to stay locked in bitterness, but for you to discover God's presence even in the hard times. And that God's able to use those hard times for you to mature and to grow as a person. Joseph begins this story as an unpleasant, arrogant, self-centered teenager. He ends the story as a mature, wise, loving, loyal brother. God's changed him, not through just the good times, but through the hard times as well. And that's not easy. It doesn't come easy to any of us. One of the striking things about the story of Joseph is how often he bursts into tears. He's a big, strong man, but time and again he's in tears. In the passage we've read in Genesis 45, when he meets his brothers, he's wailing so loud, he's crying so loud, he can be heard in the next room. Because all that hurt, all that pain needs to come out. And it comes out in his tears. It can be hard to forgive. But think of what Joseph's brothers did to him. Think of how they treated him. Joseph forgave that and overcame that grudge. Because when we're embittered, when we hold on to grudges, it destroys us inside. When we let go, we discover the grace, the love, the riches of God. God then uses that pain, that hurt in Joseph's life, to make him a more godly person. Someone whose life blesses other people. We see that in two ways in his life. The consequences of knowing that God is in control of your life. First of all, he develops integrity. When his boss's wife wants to have sex with Joseph, he refuses. Why shouldn't he? No one's looking. And yet Joseph says to the woman, "My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" He realizes God's with him. God's watching over him. Therefore, even though no one else is looking, yet he is not going to sin against God by having sex with her. He's developed integrity. He's developed humility. When he comes before Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, "I hear that you're a great man at interpreting dreams," instead of being proud and arrogant, saying, "Yeah, I'm the man," Joseph says, "I can't do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he requires." God will give Pharaoh the answer. Again, he recognizes that the gifts, the abilities he has, come from God. They don't make him proud. They make him humble. if someone at work congratulates you, compliments you on something. It may sound a bit strong, at work to say it's all from God, not from me. But I hope in your heart you know that, and I hope other people can sense that, that you're not proud, but that you're joyful in the gifts God has given to you. There's a lot more in Joseph's story than just his coat of many colors. It's a story of man who went through hard times, but allowed hard times over the long marathon of life to change him. So they discovered God was with him. He put his life before God. He lived his life in partnership, in communion with God. And so instead of bitterness, he forgives. Instead of feeling sorry for himself, he sees the good that God has done for other people. He develops integrity in situations of temptation. He develops humility when he's praised and does well, because he sees that God is in control of all his life. Life is a marathon. As I say, Tyler, Lincoln have got very long lives ahead of them still, we believe. Some of us, life has gone on quite a long time already. There's much less time left. But are we discovering that God is in control of our lives? That God is actually shaping our lives? That, yeah, there's pain, there's hurts, but they're not the times when God was absent. They're the time when God is working in a special way to mature us, to deepen us, to increase our dependence on God. As we reflect on our lives, as we look back, just spend time with God, offering those hurts, offering those grudges, offering that bitterness to God, saying, yeah, it wasn't easy, it wasn't nice. There's something in me that wants to cry out and weep before God. But also in all that, I see God's presence, and that God is faithful, God has brought me thus far, and God can continue to use me for his purposes. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we thank you for Joseph. We thank you, Father, for this story in the Bible. A story of how an arrogant, conceited young man was changed into a mature, wise, loving adult. Lord, as we go through our journey in life, we pray that you would be changing us as we learn to see your hand in every situation, as we learn to see what you're doing in our lives in every situation, as we offer you the good times and the bad times, and as we learn from them. In Jesus' name, amen.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those whom you love, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.